But now I don't see those cobbles and curbs. I don't hear the blues anymore.
Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on exclusive vinyl pressing with exclusive bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, Julie Byrne and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get the Rough Trade Album of the Month, English Teacher's excellent debut album, This Could Be Texas, on exclusive Galaxy Gold for a third of the usual price. Here's English Teacher on a recent episode of 101.
How many opportunities do you get to write a debut album and have all of this, you know, support behind us? I don't know, I really like the idea of holding the bar as being like classic songs.
You only get one shot at a debut.
Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using Club101Pod and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off the bar and on secondhand vinyl in-store, and exclusive access to sold-out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Go to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD, and claim money off the album of the month, English Teacher's This Could Be Texas, today. This offer's available to UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time. And I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
101 part-time jobs, 101 part-time jobs, 101 part-time jobs, 101 part-time jobs.
Hello, you're listening to 101 part-time jobs. It's the podcast where I get nosy and ask people about the jobs they've worked and how they've been able to survive, basically, doing something that is pretty hard. Having a life that represents a regular one while prioritising your art and going on tour and making records the whole time. On today's episode, Willem Smit from Personal Trainer, whose new album Big Love Blanket has a fantastic excitement of sounds. Listening to this record's a bit like chewing bubblegum. Absolutely love it. If you don't know it, I recommend you put this on pause, listen to the record, and come back. Cheers for listening. Big up to 2000 Trees Festival, which is happening next July in Cheltenham. Loads of great bands. Frank Hart and the Rattlesnakes, Holding Absence, Bob Villain, 100 Reasons, who are back, Joyce Manor. Go to 2000treesfestival.co.uk for that. And if you use the voucher code 101POD, you can get 20 quid off your ticket. All right, here's Willem from Personal Trainer. If anyone knows how to get rid of this blooming cold, let me know. Cheers!
It was extra for Dale.
The start of this band, it was like the whole revolving lineup thing, and we used to like it would just be me with like a bunch of people live every time, like different people each time. Kind of ever since we started putting out like more music, like 2 or 3 years ago, we've kind of had kind of like a set group of people, and especially Kilian, who plays percussion in the band, he's been helping a lot with like the kind of the managing side of things. It's definitely like the two of us that like do most of like the boring stuff.
And it's the boring stuff that takes a lot of time, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like the last year or so, I wish I would have had more time to like do the actual music part, and like almost like everything out of that of being like in a band has been pretty much like my job for the for the last year, which is cool, but I would be super down to like spend more time on the music side of things in the next year.
How's that worked out in like reality, like day to day? Have you been able to find yourself a place where you can live and afford and, you know, not spend too much time worrying about that?
Definitely. I have this really nice situation. I've been living with my girlfriend and her parents for like 5 years. Her parents bought like this huge house in Amsterdam in this neighborhood that's now pretty like posh kind of. But it wasn't like that when they bought it. So they bought it for like no money at all. And now they have this great situation where it's me and my girlfriend Pip like on the top floor. That's where we live. We have pretty nice house like compared to most of my bandmates, and then there's like her brother and his girlfriend. She's called Lena. She also makes music. They both do together, and they have like the second floor, and then there's the like the bottom one is where my girlfriend's parents live. So we have very nice like a musical household.
Brilliant. And are the parents into the music?
Definitely. They actually started like this, like pretty much the main platform for like alternative music back in the 90s. They don't do that anymore, but it's called 3 for 12. And it's actually where our percussion player Kilian works. That's his like main job. He does
a school. It's like an education place.
No, it's like a platform, kind of like it's like an online blog thing. They also do like they broadcast a lot of like music festival stuff on like TV and on the radio and stuff like that.
Brilliant.
It's a bit like the BBC, I guess, or like a part of BBC that would be like, especially, yeah, so that's pretty cool.
I mean, that is one thing to, and I'm probably going to be not very articulate about this, and maybe I'm saying something that's obvious to you and but not obvious to me and lots of people in the UK, is that element where you have the accessibility to create a platform and to make art be an important thing in society in the Netherlands and in Germany and in other various European countries. And I think the way that you see that in reality is that if you play a gig in London or anywhere in the UK, you know, you'll be met with not much encouragement, I suppose, a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that different in the Netherlands? Is there an encouragement there?
I think it's there's a difference, because there's definitely a difference. It's like on one hand, there's like more, I guess, money from like the government in place for like arts. I mean, it's still nothing close to like just having a regular job. It's like if I wouldn't be able to live here, there would be no way I'd be like this free and like making records and like doing all the stuff outside of actually making records. And like this 3 for 12 thing, that's the other way around. Like that's the other difference, is that 3 for 12 is probably like the coolest like platform for all right music or something. But I do think there's like a lot more time on the radio in the UK for, I guess, alternative music than there is over here. So there's not a lot going on like when it comes to alternative music here compared to the UK, but there is a little more money in place. So that's basically
looking at, you know, over the last sort of 5 years and maybe even going back a bit further, you know, did you kind of have to, I mean, everyone fights for their art, you know, in their heart and in their head and in reality. In what ways have you had to fight for personal trainer, fight to make records, fight to make sure that you can tour?
Well, basically, just kind of accept that there's no money coming in and there is money you're putting into it.
Lots of it.
The thing is that I'm mostly like, I've been quite good compared to some other bandmates when it comes to like my living situation. I have a roof above my head, which is really nice. So I never really felt like I really had to fight. I mean, if there's no money, I'd need like to get like a job on the side, which I've had a couple of like jobs on the side just to keep me going. But I've been quite like lucky the last year or so, like 2 years or so, because I could do like some stuff that I liked, and I got some like funding, and I kind of like got nominated for this prize thing, and that also gave me like money to get along for like another 2-3 months. So I kind of, it's like month to month kind of looking how it goes. Yeah.
And you've been playing music for quite a long time. You were in bands when you were a teenager. What was that situation like? Did music always come above school?
Yeah, so like first time I started like putting out records with a band was when I was about 14 or something, and that was like the first band I was in that was signed to like a record label, and we did like a bunch of shows. And back then it was quite weird because we weren't allowed to play like more than 30 shows every year. Because it would be like considered child labor. So we had to like, that it's just like in place so that to like protect children. So like parents don't force them to to work.
That's kind of sad, obviously, but kind of funny.
Yeah, it was really funny. Yeah, and I mean, that meant that we had to like pick which shows to play back then, because we got some pretty like nice reviews and stuff, and it was all going pretty well for like a 14-year-old band, which is really cool. And like, yeah, back then I lived with my parents. I did have some like jobs on the side, some really shitty ones. And yeah, I mean, after that, like after school, because it was going so well, I also had this other band after that. We were also like able to play like a bunch of shows. And then I kind of like, I just wanted to go for the music thing. So kind of just stuck with that. And like in situations, I've had like a couple of years with like no money at all, but kind of just got by, which I made it work, but it's like, it's just not a very luxurious life, which I don't mind, to be honest. Yeah.
And that's the trick, right? If that doesn't affect you, then it doesn't affect you, right? You don't have to think about it.
Exactly. It's like, it was kind of like a no-brainer for me to like do the music thing and just keep going, because I thought I was quite good at it, and I like to do it, basically. Yeah. So, yeah.
Great stuff. You got to back yourself, don't you? You got to believe in yourself. When you were leaving school, were there any hard decisions that you had to make about not taking a job that you wanted to do, or, you know, hard decisions whether to, you know, stay where you are, and, you know, because there's compromise in everything, you know, even the things that you love most in life, there's always going to be compromises of sorts.
Yeah, I mean, like the biggest compromise is probably just like the very, I just had a couple of like side jobs that I really disliked. That was like the biggest compromise, because I did need like money to get by. Not a lot, again, but like I did need it. So I had to work like 2-3 times a week, apart from the music thing, to kind of get by. Yeah, I was like, did you say dishwasher? Because
dishwasher, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because when I was in England and I told people I was a dishwasher, they were just laughing at me because I was...
Like it's the machine.
Like referring to the machine washing dishes. When it comes to like the jobs I did get, it was like very low. Like it's what all the teenagers did. Like very... I was also like a food delivery boy on a bicycle. That stuff was quite easy to get like a job there because it didn't pay that much, and it was just like a really shitty job to do. They just needed people. They needed to beat the other companies doing the same thing. So they just went all in, I guess. So they just needed people. Same for the pot wash thing. I think it's quite easy to get a pot wash job in the Netherlands, or in like Amsterdam at least. Yeah.
Were those funny experiences? Did you meet some interesting people?
The most interesting thing to me was that I really needed money. It was like you need for the job, you needed like a phone with like an application and a bicycle. And my phone was like almost broken all the time, so it didn't work well. And I also the same goes for my bicycle back then. So I was like using broken stuff to make money to fix my broken stuff, which didn't really work because I also needed like groceries and stuff. Yeah, it just paid really, really shitty pay. So.
Do you feel like you're old enough to know that you know, the experience you've had in your 20s and until now, that, you know, there's enough confidence there to be like, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. This is what I need to be doing.
Yeah, I guess. And if I want to stop, there's probably space left for me to like do something else within like the whole music realm, which I would be super down to do. And I think that's a pretty good situation here in the Netherlands, that there's enough people like that know me now, because I've been doing like the music thing for like 10 years or something. So there's probably like some place I could work. But yeah, for now it's basically just blind into the band thing. Yeah.
Have you got into the production sides of things? Have you got behind the desk and setting up microphones and editing, producing? Have you got into that?
Yeah, I mean, like most of the pretty much all recording for a personal trainer I do with a guy called Casper van der Lans, and he's like the sound nerd. He knows all about that stuff. I produce for like other people do. That's like another side job that I've been doing like for the last year or so. Yeah, he's mostly in charge of that, because it's quite a big mess. I'm getting better, but it's a big mess when I try to produce a record.
Well, I think that I'm a big fan of like the holistic approach to making something, you know, not even worry or can be concerned about a bit of chaos. You know, that's where the fun is for me.
Same goes for me. I'm all for chaos. Yeah.
You know, Big Love Blanket has such a great sound in terms of the way that, you know, it has a real raw element to it, but it's all there. You can kind of hear everything.
Nice.
There's that cliche of album reviews of being like, you know, when you're listening to it, it sounds like it could all fall apart at any moment. It has a bit of that. You know, can you imagine yourself following that idea of producing records and making records like that for, I mean, like you say, you've been doing it for other bands in the last few years. Can you imagine, you know, doing more and more of that?
Definitely. I would be like super down to do that. That would be like a dream part-time job, like apart from the band itself. Yeah. I would love to produce more stuff. Yeah, I don't really know what a producer is really, but I would love to help people with records, or like just not even help, but like be a part of like the makings of records that I of bands that I really like, or like musicians. Yeah.
Well, the definition of a producer is fluid, right? As a producer, you could be the person in your presence, being in the room, hanging out. That could be a really kind of vital role that wasn't there, you know, wouldn't be there if you weren't in the room.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, there's the guy with whom I record the personal trainer stuff, Casper. When I call him a producer, he tells me not to, because he prefers the term like a sound technician or something. he's pretty strict about that.
I would call myself a music journalist, but that phrase doesn't fill me with any idea. You know, there's nothing in that phrase that I think is cool. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You just need to get like something across, right? Like
just need to do something. You know, I've got something that I want to do, and you know, I don't really know why, but I just got to do it. And looking at interviews with authors, you know, it's almost like a condition that people have to write. You just have to write. You have to just fucking do it. And you can see how that creates problems in life.
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
101 part-time jobs. 101 part-time jobs. 101 part-time jobs.
I had this, like the pot wash job I was on about earlier. I had this really, really bad day. It was also like, I think, one of the last days I worked there. Where first I dropped this whole pan of like oil they used for frying stuff. And that was a very slippery mess to clean. And then after that, they told me, they didn't tell me in advance. And they were like, at the end of my shift, like, yeah, now we're going to remove like part of the kitchen. So they took out with like 7 people. We like kind of like, it was a very small kitchen. It was like 2x2 or something. And we had to like lift like this kitchen block in a really complex manner out of the kitchen. It was all really small and really tight. And then they were like, yeah, and now you clean what's underneath. And it was just like, it was like a layer like this of like dead mice and mice poo. It was really really bad. I was always quite nervous at work, quite like shy and quiet. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll clean it. And then I was doing it for like, I guess like 30 seconds. And I was like, no, I'm not doing this. And then I kind of just got out. And I was probably like I think I worked there like one more afternoon. And then I kind of quit because it was just too damn nasty.
Too gross.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much, Willem. I mean, talking about this conversation, because I think it is a big one that, you know, I think a few years ago, people in bands might not want to talk about the reality of it, I suppose, because it's not very sexy sometimes. You know, it's like, it's the day-to-day shit. It's the boring emails. It's the traffic jams. It's the hurry up and wait routine. I mean, in this conversation, is there anything, you know, anything you'd want to say or kind of any comment on it, you know, in the future, how we can do better, you know, maybe advice for younger bands today?
To be honest, I myself am really just figuring stuff out. like every day is just like, okay, here we go. Let's try another day. And I have no advice for anyone, to be honest. I'm a big mess myself. So I'm just figuring it out as I go. Sorry to all the young bands that need advice or something. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much, Willem. That's funny. You're great. Thank you. So there was Willem from Personal Trainer. Cheers for listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs. There have been so many amazing episodes this year. I've gone back and had a look and I'm really proud, really happy, really thankful that people are being up for interviewed on this. People are being up for listening. So a massive hand to you. Thank you so much. I don't really ask, but if you listen to this show enough, if you wouldn't mind going and reviewing and rating. To be honest, I'm not so convinced myself how much that does, but it seems like that's one way to support this show. I'll be back next year with a new episode weekly on Tuesdays. I'll see you then. Have a good rest of 2022. Here's Cox Barra. I've been working all day, bumming my head on the side, running around like a blue-ass fly. I've been working, yeah, I've been working all day, bumming my head. Every blink of me, I've been on the go, up and down the ladder like a fiddler's elbow. I've been working, yeah, I've been working all day, bumming my head. This is a Mighty Moon Media podcast.